our Father and our God. Your word is quick and active. Your word is sharper than any two-edged sword. Your word divides asunder between the soul and the spirit, and between the joints and the marrows. The entrance of your word gives light to the simple. May the entrance of your word, O God, bring conviction of hearts and conversion of souls in the name of Jesus. May the entrance of your word, O Lord, discern the thoughts, the intentions, the needs, the expectations, and desires of everyone here, and meet us beyond a point of need and expectation, that, Lord, we shall witness the showers and the power of your reviving again in our land, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Please be seated. I give glory to God for a day like this, whom it has pleased to make us stand here today as elected, confirmed, consecrated, and enthroned the third bishop of Enugu Diocese. To him alone be all glory, honor, adoration, praise, power, majesty, and sovereignty in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. I greet all of you here, and I'm deeply humbled and appreciative of your presence, especially our church fathers who have traveled far and near, our archbishops and bishops, and their wives, our church fathers, heads of organizations, church groups, denominations, overseers. I also thank God for our revered traditional ruler who are here. And indeed, if there be any government official or public servant, I thank you. The heads of institutions, tertiary, hospitals, agencies, public and private, I greet you all in the name of Jesus Christ. And to every other person here, from within and outside Enugu Diocese, including those from my village, Enugu Abo, from my hometown, Ifuma, from my home diocese, Agota, and my family and in-laws, I greet you in the name of Jesus Christ. May the Lord himself, whom you have honored by honoring our humble selves today, bless you innumerably. And more today, bless you with his visitation of a time of refreshing in the threshold of revival that is birthing in this land in the name of Jesus Christ. In all plainness and sincerity, I never set out in my entire life desiring or angling for any position, let alone the office of a bishop. Since I surrendered my life to Jesus Christ as a 13-year-old boy in Federal Government College, Enugu, Form 1 then, in 1977, as my Lord and personal Savior, I've had only one consuming passion: to know, to love, and to serve God unreservedly and wholeheartedly my whole life. Being enabled of him to excel in any position or opportunity that he avails me by his grace, and using every platform he affords me to be a change agent, to impact lives, to win souls, to heaven's gain and delight. And I'm praying, God, that this will also be one of it in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Looking at our texts this morning, in the Gospel according to St. Mark, chapter 16, Verse 15, he said unto them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every witness. And verse 20, and they went out and preached everywhere, the Lord walking with them and confirming the word through the accompanying signs. Amen. And in our first Bible reading, Isaiah chapter 61, verses 1 to 11, is prophetic of what the Lord will do with us in this new dawn of his presence in this diocese. I beg you, join me to read it, albeit I will paraphrase it. That alone summarizes this message, our gathering, and the period in which he will please to help us serve in this diocese. Isaiah 61, I paraphrase. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to preach good tidings to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of prison to those who are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord, and the day of the vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, to console those who mourn in the Zion of Enugu diocese, to give you beauty for ashes in the name of Jesus, to give you the oil of joy for mourning in the name of Jesus, to give you the garment of praise for the spirit of happiness in the name of Jesus, that you may be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified in Jesus' name. And you shall rebuild the old ruins. You shall raise up the former desolations. You shall repair the ruined cities, the desolations of many generations, in the name of Jesus. And to all of you, strangers shall stand and feed your flocks. The sons of the foreigners shall be your plowmen and your vine dressers in the name of Jesus Christ. But you shall be named the priests of the Lord. They shall call you the servants of our God. You shall eat the riches of the Gentiles, and in their glory you shall boast in the name of Jesus. Instead of your shame, you shall have double honor in Jesus' name. Instead of confusion, you shall rejoice in your portions in Jesus' name. Therefore, in our land, we shall possess double in the name of Jesus. Everlasting joy shall be ours in Jesus' name. For I, the Lord, love justice. I hate robbery for burnt offering. I will direct your walk in truth and will make with you an everlasting covenant in the name of Jesus. Your descendants shall be known among the Gentiles. Your offspring among the people, and all who see them shall acknowledge them, that they are the posterity whom the Lord has blessed in the name of Jesus Christ. We will greatly rejoice in the Lord. Our soul shall be joyful in our God, for he has clothed us with the garments of salvation. He has covered us with the robe of righteousness, and as a bridegroom decks himself with ornaments, and as a bride adorns herself with her jewels, for the earth bring forth its bud. And as the garden causes the things that are sown in it to spring forth, so the Lord will cause our righteousness and praise to spring forth before all the nations in Jesus' name. People of God, this passage was reenacted in the Gospel according to St. Luke chapter 4, specifically verses 18 and 19, and is otherwise called the Manifesto of Jesus. It summarizes the manifesto of a new dawn in Enugu diocese. It summarizes the manifesto of a refreshing time in the name of Jesus. We have here the making of a rebirth, arrival, the going forth of a new dawn, of revival moves of God in this diocese by his mercy, in the name of Jesus Christ. So people of God, we are in the threshold of revival. That's the theme of our message this morning. We are in the threshold of revival. What is revival? Revival is a time, a season, a period of fresh visitation of God on a person, on a people, on a church, on a community, or a nation with the outpouring of His Spirit. An attendant manifestation of His presence, power and glory. This is born out of genuine earnestness and sincerity of worship, prayer, and hunger for God, for more of God, for more of His righteousness, and the resultant holy living, conversion of souls, in turning to the Lord in repentance, in demonstration of signs and wonders, with healing of individuals. I'm talking about healing. The Church of Nigeria, under the leadership of our primate, Most Reverend Dr. Henry Chukwudim Ndokoba, in the just ended standing committee held at Nike Diocese 3 days ago, he closed, gave us a theme and a charge titled, "The Lord That Heals, Healing the People and the Nation." He has us in mind. And may that vision and burden be borne out clearly in our lives in the name of Jesus Christ. It comes with healing of individuals, healing of relationships one to another, healing of families, keeping with others, as well as the community. I'm talking about the community. In Amalunga, a community of just about 19 to 20,000, in the years between 1970 and 2000, in Guatemala, the Lord visited that community with His revival wave. It had manifestations. They had more than 30 clubhouses before. All of them closed down. They now had more than 30 churches in that land. The 4 jails they had in that community were closed. The policemen had no more job. They carried no gun because there was nobody breaking the law. They only carried whistles to give people guidance and direction. Their crops grew stupendously, and there was an atmosphere of palpable joy, humility, and peace prevailing all around that community. The Lord shall grant us this in the name of Jesus Christ. So there is healing of communities. There is also healing of a nation. Talk about the Welsh revival of 1904, as recorded in the Revival We Need by J. Oswald Smith. In the Welsh revival, it was suddenly like an unexpected tornado. The Spirit of God swept over the land. The churches were crowded so that multitudes were unable to get in. Meetings lasted from 10 in the morning until 12 at night. 3 different services were held each day. Nothing had ever come over Wales with such far-reaching results. Infidels were converted, drunkards, thieves, and gamblers saved, and thousands reclaimed to respectability. Confessions of awful sins were heard on every side, and those who once selfishly wasted their money on alcohol suddenly became a great joy and support to their families. Old debts were paid. Bars and movie houses closed down. The theater had to leave for want of patronage. Former prostitutes started holding Bible studies. Mules in the coal mines refused to work because they had become unused to this sudden kindness. In 5 weeks, 20,000 people joined the churches in salvation. People of God, this we will have in this time, in this diocese, in the between weeks and months and years, in the name of Jesus Christ. Quoting David Dixon in The Impact of Revival on the Society, Revival is a special outpouring of God's blessing when his people are spiritually renewed and many others are converted. Thus, the fire of revival usually sparks up from an individual or a group of believers, church, and spreads beyond its point of origin, impacting the environment and the society. A revival fire shall start off in Enugu Diocese. It shall embrace the whole of Enugu State. It shall go beyond to the rest of our country, God being our helper in the name of Jesus Christ. To revive means to raise up to live, restore, raise up to life, to live again, raise, resurrect, resuscitate from dying to what ought to be. And experience before God and man a spiritual awakening, a reason to truly live in God's sight daily, habitually, our true potentials and character as Christians, demonstrating God's mercies, gentleness, goodness, and power. What is not necessarily revival? Revival is not necessarily special programs, dubbed revival services or weekend programs. It's also not necessarily crusades with banners hollering revival. These may be part of it, but it goes beyond them. Revival is not necessarily brought about mechanically by man's methodical plan. It's not about the latest church growth plan. It's not about a great marketing strategy or advertisement which the church is joining the world to do now. It's not necessarily about powerful worship music. These days, we are renting commercialized gospel singers who, after they have sung everything, they will just add in Jesus' name at the end to sell their products. Revival is not just about profound great sermons. In the Welsh revival, there was literally little preaching. It was more of singing and prayer pouring forth from the heart of simple folks in the land. Revival may not necessarily be miraculous wonders. There are many, but there are many fake ones today as well. Revival does not necessarily connote large congregation. And so we do all kinds of things. We develop all kinds of gimmicks. We develop all kinds of formula. We ask people to pray in the name of Jesus 7 times and their prayers will be answered. And we say so many of the things and there is nothing. That's not revival. And that's nothing near to it. It's beyond that. So, people of God, when should revival be desired? When is revival needed in any life, in any church, in any community, in any diocese, in any nation? When? Number one, when complacency, lethargy, and lukewarmness, if you like, call it dyingness, set in our personal lives and walk with God. And in the body of Christ, we need revival. When we seem to become contented with just where we are, who we are, with no burning desire to being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord, as in 2 Corinthians 3:18, with no burning desire to grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, as in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 18, with no more yearning akin to that of Paul in Philippians chapter 3, verse 10, that I may know him. And yet, when there is no more desire to grow in the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, Christ-likeness, as in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 13, people of God, we need revival, and we need it now, because we see these in our midst. When we seem to become careless with God in our words, in our attitudes, in our lifestyle, in worship, and we treat God as if he's now our age mate and some of the times as our errand boy, we have become so familiar with him, his standards will cast aside. Friends, we need a revival. When we as a church have so many programs, abounding activities and groups, with little or minimal spiritual or social impact. So much noise! As in the Bible prophets of 1 Kings 18, we have developed gimmicks, we have developed tactics, we have developed techniques, yet minimal spiritual, societal, or Christ-like impact, we need a revival. When man's efforts in all our endeavors and life pursuits, and especially in our spiritual work and work with and for God, seem to be more in evidence, seem to be more at work, seem to be on the front burner, more than God's input, intervention, superintendency, or guide, we now have in actual practice the God man uses instead of the man that God uses. We need a revival. When immorality, loose living, and debased and perverted lifestyles and sin, same-sex relationship is now permissible in the churches. The LGBTQ movement is on the upright rise. The revisionist agenda is on the front burner. There is a new norm now of nudity. Nudity, pay it all. Those who are the fashion stars and fashionistas said they have shown all the styles there is to show. The only thing that remains is to pay it all. So no wonder on the TVs, on the screens, on the billboards, everywhere we're inundated with nudity. When such abound and increase, when sex scandals are everywhere, among the men of God, among the churches, public servants, university lecturers, higher institutions, and prostitution, incest, adultery have been legalized overtly and covertly in many nations as a means of transaction in public and private organizations. We need a revival. When corruption has now become a way of life, when all these abound, reign, dominate, personalize, church, the society in general, with diminishing evidence of transparent, holy living, grace, and mercy of God, we need a revival. When prayerlessness, lack of devotion, which is the measure of how we depend on God or trust on Him to guide, sets in contrast to activities of being busy, we are more encompassed with doing for God than being with God. When we see that as the order of our personal Christian lives and our congregational and church life, friends, we definitely need a revival. When the Word of God, its reading, its study and meditation become tepid, ritualistic, as if we are just reading a textbook. When we become more and increasingly earthly and worldly minded and conforming and craving to the worldly standards, seeking to be accepted by the society that should take us as a moral compass, and we depict carnality in all aspects of our living rather than being heavenly focused, spirit guided and directed, and the spirit and the presence of God seem increasingly afar, up to even in our churches. We need a revival. When last did God speak to you as a father to a son and as a father to a daughter? When God seems far, you, I, we need a revival. When as now, all the attributes that paint and herald the pervading lawlessness of perilous times of the last days, as seen in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 to 5, are awash. They are growing daily and multiplying. We need a revival. When passion for soul winning wanes and missionary efforts grow feeble, far and in between, that is when we need a revival. When hardship and suffering of any and every nature become the order of the day in any life, group, society, or nation, as in Nigeria today, a multi-dimensionally poor people are more than 133 million out of 220 million and counting. Our inflation rate is about 40%. One of the highest in the whole world. There is nothing that can survive that but the revival that comes from God. And we shall have, by the mercies of God, in the name of Jesus. When intense persecution hits the church, his believers, as in Acts chapter 8, as it's doing now, right round the globe, all the places in Nigeria, the easiest soft target to attack in the media and in the social media is the church. When that persecution comes and there's a reviving of idol worship and idolatry, friends, we need a revival. That's why 2 Chronicles chapter 7 verses 14 and 15 do say, if my people who are called by my name, we humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and heal their land. Now my eyes will be open and my ears attentive to prayer made when such happens. Friends, we shall fulfill this mandate of 2 Chronicles that the revival times will come again in our land in the name of Jesus Christ. When does revival come? According to Charles Grandison Finney, the most significant American evangelist of the 19th century, even as Billy Graham was of the 20th century, Charles Finney was regarded as the father of modern revivalism. In his book, Prevailing Prayer, he said, the two kinds of means to promote and desire to experience revival are the one to influence men, the other to influence God. Prayer to move God, not that God's mind is changed by prayer, or that his disposition or character is changed. No, but prayer produces such a change in us as renders it consistent for God to intervene or move in the affairs of men, in the church, and in the society, and same we shall resume in earnestness in the name of Jesus. Here, Robert Leydon, in the introduction to God's Generals, the Revivalists. From many stories of revivals, personal revivals usually lead to church and national revival. It will usually begin with a complete trust in the Lord, a profound reverence for God, and a determination to overcome the social ills each revivalist saw in his generation. These revivalists transformed lives in a way that led to the transformation of communities and nations. As we are yearning for a time and a threshold of revival, how does revival come? What are the conditions that we must meet to have revival? God-man, the path by man, and the path by God. And the only thing God really needs to do is to see man fulfill these conditions, and he will intervene. He will intervene in our place because he will see us meet these conditions individually. We're not praying and asking for revival from the air. Lord, let it start from them. It will start with me. It will start with you. 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 Personal. Nobody prays revival prayers pointing fingers. You begin with yourself. You ask God for mercy. You put yourself in the gap. And you can have the body to now pray and believe God to intervene. When God sees such 3 hours of a condition, he will intervene. He will see it in us, he will intervene, and we shall have a fresh wave of his move in our generation again in the name of Jesus Christ. The first hour, renewed obedience to the word of God. Deliberate creation of opportunity and time for and reverence for the word of God. Renewed obedience for the word of God. The first century apostles showed us the pattern. In Acts 6:4, they said, we would rather give ourselves to the ministry of the word and prayer. In Isaiah 66 verse 2, the Lord says, "But on this one will I look, on him who is poor and of a contrite spirit, and who trembles at my word." Hear how Message translation puts this passage. "But there is something I am searching for. A person simple and plain, without baggages, without cluttered life, a transparent life always, no blockage, reverently responsible to what I say." When God finds us in such, in the light of his search by his word, we are broken and contrite, and we will meet with his approval and delight, and he will intervene. So let him do in our lives in the name of Jesus. In Isaiah 57 verse 15, he says, "For this is what the high and lofty one says, he who lives forever, whose name is holy. I live in a high and lofty place, but also with him who is contrite and lowly in spirit, to revive the spirit of the lowly and to revive the heart of the contrite." When in constant heart attitude of seeking God, asking him to reveal sin, and choosing to put ourselves and our attitudes completely under his word for change, for transformation, when we in humility repent and declare our dependence on God, humbled, guided, contrite, broken, ready to be set aright, in renewed obedience to God's word, God cannot resist. He will look, he will see, he will hear, and we will attract his divine intervention and presence, and that's the breakout of revival. So shall we have in the name of Jesus. In our second Bible reading, in Mark chapter 16, when we obey his word to go preaching the gospel to everyone and everywhere, and going everywhere and anywhere, in season and out of season, and we preach the word, according to verse 20, God will confirm his word. God will come in. God will confirm this world with signs and wonders. So let it be, O God, in our time and generation again, in the name of Jesus. Renewed obedience to the word of God will usually lead us to the second of the 3 hours of revival. And the second hour is repentance from every known sin, from every compromise, from every habit, from every weight, from every action that turns away God's presence, without reservation, with sincere confession of sin, overt and covertly, every secret sin, every wrong dealing, and in the words of our former bishop and bishop, every sycophantic and cosmetic Christianity is still in the annals of revival. And we offendedly, unpretentiously, sincerely, wholeheartedly turn to the Lord in repentance, clergy and laity, father and mother, adults and children. In Joel chapter 2, verses 12 to 13, he said, "Let the priest weep between the porch and the altar, call a solemn assembly. Let the bride and the groom come out from their wedding chamber. Let the little children who take socks cease for a while." There is work to do to ask God for a repentant heart. And friends, in the past few weeks and months of this diocese, in the period of transmission, words have been spoken. Hearts have been felt. Attitudes have been developed. And they cannot bring revival. We will begin by asking the Lord God Almighty in prayer, in penitence, in conscious humility to forgive us, every one of us. For individual and collective sins, speakings, and errors. And we will seek his forgiveness. The Lord will hear us in Jesus' name. For in Isaiah 66, verses 1, verse 18, he says, if I regard iniquity in my heart, my prayers, David, he will not hear. The Lord will hear us. Look at Psalm 139, verses 23 and 24. That's the way Message Bible rendered it. Investigate my life, O God. Find out everything about me. Cross-examine and test me. Get a clear picture of what I am about. See for yourself whether I've done anything wrong. Then guide me on the road to eternal life. And King James Version will say, try me and know my heart. Search me and know my thoughts. And see if there be any wicked way, word, idea, maligning, backbiting, secretly spoken or in the public. And all of us will find. If you search yourself, you will give yourself a pass mark. And those who come before the presence of the Lord, beating their chest, they are far away from a revival repent. We need to come to a point where we'll ask the Holy Spirit to search us. He will tell you, this is where you spoke wrong. This is where you acted ill. This is where you felt bad. This is where you took the glory that belonged to God. When he searches us and we come out that way, this will lead us to the third hour. Relentless, intense, earnest, heartfelt prayers. It will lead us to deep burden. It will lead us to intercession. It will lead us to a deep realization that only the Spirit of God can do it. Once in any area of our life, talk more the spiritual, we still have self inside. We still have what we can do to help God. Revival will be merely mouthing and nothing will happen. But we need incubation in prayer that will make us release all to God. And as we release all to God and his mercies, then it will be more of agonizing in prayers than organizing by men. And when effectual, effective prayer of faith of the righteous, as in James 5, 16 to 18, is made, and in 1 Kings 18, where Elijah prayed on. We thought he prayed just once, but we are told he prayed seven times, and it took him time, and he was unrelenting, he was earnest, he was effective, he was in expectancy. Until there was a sound of abundance of rain and the showers of the rain of blessing. Friends, when we do this, we shall have God's revival. It won't be a historical fact. It will happen with us and it will happen in our generation in the name of Jesus Christ. There have been waves of revival in history. There have been waves of revival in biblical accounts. There have been waves of revival in our generation. There are so many accounts I have here. I will only share three. In the first century church of Acts of Apostles, chapter 2, on the Pentecost day, there broke out a revival. In 1952, a layman who was not clergy, Demos Shakarian, caught a revival fire that has given birth now to the now worldwide Full Gospel Businessmen's Fellowship International, which in Nigeria alone has more than 3,000 chapters and counting. Many of you who are old enough to know that in the post-Civil War years, 1970 to 1975, a revival of seeking God and of the fresh move of God came upon the southeastern Nigeria. This one, I was a witness. In 1984-85, at the National Conference of Nigerian Fellowship of Evangelical Students, the largest body of evangelical student movement in Nigeria, that held at the University of Nigeria in Soka, that year, I met people, and I don't know it wasn't coincidence, who told me specifically they were praying for a revival in Nsukka campus. Divinely coincidental too, as we returned to Enugu campus, that same 1985, there was a lady, she schooled with us, she's now late, Margaret Imowo, later Ogogo. She said, I have been praying for revival on this campus. She took it upon herself. And friends, by December 1985, we had a revival move of God on Enugu campus. One Sunday evening, Anselm Madubuku, architect, disc jockey when he was a student, and a popular television presenter, all of a sudden landed at Enugu campus and said, God sent him back. So bring many back to him. That was the night that Chris Okotie, Jidobi, and many of the people who were living on the fringe surrendered their lives to the Lord Jesus Christ. And that flame burnt on for quite a while. If we have had contemporary, historical, biblical accounts of revival, shall we not have our own revival? Are we not ripe for a revival? Is this not the time for revival? We can have revivals. Every bit of renewed obedience to the word of God will result in holy living and prayer-imbued lives, blossoming to passionate soul-winning and missionary exploits, affecting our lives, churches, society, and the nation in the name of Jesus. We shall have a revival, a reenactment of the first century Acts of the Apostles, Christianity, awash with the life of godliness and consequent presence, power, moves, and the glory of God. Friends, in Enugu Diocese, by the grace of God, in the next few weeks to months and years, as it pleases the Lord, we are on the threshold of revival, and we shall have revival. As it pleases the Lord, we will go back to in-depth systematic study and teaching of the wholesome counsel of the Word of God, Bible studies and workshops, retreats for clergy and for laity, that we may have a renewed obedience to the Word of God. We will return under God to prayer-imbued life of the early church and our Lord Jesus Christ in our prayer cells, in our prayer chains, in solemn assemblies, in prayer vigils, and the Lord shall visit us in the name of Jesus. Under God, we are targeting a befitting the Diocesan Retreat Center as a priority. Under God, our Diocesan evangelistic thrusts will be regularly to zonal, street, vicinity evangelistic programs with the view of establishing a church within. Hallelujah. The elements are echoing. With the view of establishing a church within 10 minutes walking distance. The Lord will do it in the name of Jesus. Our archdeaconry evangelistic with medical weekend outreaches to the hinterland where there is relative gospel poverty, with a view to planting churches, nurturing such churches, discipling them to growth, and erecting places of worship for them shall take place in the name of Jesus. We shall encourage under God and challenge each of the arms of the church, the Knights of the Good Shepherd, the Diocesan Men Christian Fellowship, the women organizations, the Anglican Youth Fellowship, and the EFAC to do more in their outreaches and in planting churches. This we will do, the Lord helping us in the name of Jesus. With the manifesto texts of our Lord Jesus Christ, the owner and head of the church, in caring for the whole man, spirit, soul, and body. Jesus did a PhD ministry. He preached the gospel. He healed diseases and sicknesses. He developed human lives and his environment. So in education, we are trusting God that our schools return to us. We want to be grateful to the secretary, to the state government, on behalf of the state government, and we express our gratitude for the return and gazetting of our souls. May the schools, may the Lord bless you for this singular virtue and bless your administration in the name of Jesus. Our schools shall be centers of excellence, qualitative, well-equipped, competitive, morally sound, with attraction of well-qualified and well-remunerated and motivated teachers. We shall, under God, encourage refresher courses sponsored for teachers of our schools. We shall, under God, establish in the shortest possible time a certified college of nursing and possibly an institution, tertiary, or even university campus of allied health sciences. We shall ginger our Diocesan Specialist Hospital, which is overqualified already, to in the next 1 year apply for the accreditation by the Nigerian Medical and Dental Council to be qualified, recognized, certified as approved center for housemanship and internship training of freshly qualified medical graduates as house officers. We shall, under God, use the instrument of the Diocesan EIES, the Eastern Institute for Entrepreneurial Studies, which is under the able leadership and principled guidance and policies already set up by Sir Engineer Chris Okoye and is already registered with the Corporate Affairs to reduce the glaring poverty index of our people. In partnering with the state government, we shall be able to empower the youth in various skills and areas of creative output and embark on definite investment portfolios. It will generate a revenue base for the diocese. It will decrease the assessment to the churches, and we will diversify to agricultural and digital skills. God helping us. As a matter of policy, we shall spread our social security nets to actively encourage and intensify the good work that the prison ministry under Canon Dr. Siobi Okoye and his group are doing. We shall have a robust program of periodic interaction and welfare sessions with our elderly, retired, and senior citizens. We shall engage as many of our retired but still active members in our educational institutions, hospitals, and every other area of endeavor we have at our disposal. And by the mercies of God, we shall prayerfully operationalize our widows and possibly create our widowers for more beneficial relevance to all those who are concerned. We are believing God to devolve a more realistic welfare plan for our clergy and their families, especially with respect to their health care. In the healing ministry, we are believing God to encourage the teaching of the scriptures on healing by divine healing and by the use of medicine and surgery, thereby believing that in the spirit of revival move and presence of the Holy Spirit, the outpouring of the gifts of the Holy Spirit, as in 1 Corinthians 12 and in Romans chapter 12, more of our members, both clergy and laity, shall be endued with the gifts of the Spirit, especially in the area of gifts of faith, gifts of working of miracles, and gifts of healing. And when the Lord manifests them, we shall carefully encourage them. We shall not stifle them in the name of Jesus Christ. Since more people pass through the gates of the hospital than those of the church, we shall strengthen and reinforce and refocus our hospital chaplains and chaplaincy to a more holistic approach in their dispensation. It is a desire by the will of God to establish health care centers in different zones of our diocese within Enugu State, especially in the rural areas, to reach the greater proportion of our population, church members and others alike, with basic health care at affordable and accessible level. We shall, God helping us, galvanize our membership across the diocese to enroll in the various national and state universal health care schemes instead of the burden of paying out of the pockets. A scheme for this is already at work at the moment. The Lord will help us to achieve it in the name of Jesus. People of God, these and greater than we can think or imagine are possible because we are in the threshold of revival. But before the revival fire we blow, it starts with individuals. I will adjure you by the mercies of God. If you are here and you have not witnessed the power of the Lord Jesus Christ in transforming your life, what he did in my life in Form 1 in Federal Government College in Enugu, 1977, has brought me thus far. I have had no regret following Jesus by personally committing to him. I adjure everyone here, if you must take a further move in this work of revival, you must by yourself, willingly, actively, consciously, ask Jesus to come into your life and be your Lord and Savior. Forgive you your sins. That's why he came and shed his blood. How can you be called a Christian? How can you come to church regularly, yet you have not encountered the transforming power of Jesus? Isn't that a waste of time? Isn't that a waste of life? And life and time is ticking by. Please, the first form of visitation to a life is a life surrendered to Christ. Peace gained with him. Barrier broken. You can sincerely call God your Father. If at any point in time you have not witnessed the Holy Spirit telling you you are a child of God, please do it now. You are in the right place today. You will be the first husbandman of the revival. Shall we bow our heads to pray? What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Is it all day in my dream? Nothing. Oh, Baraka, Jesus, oh, he is the Kong, Nania, Gasacha, Nania, Baraka, where you are, have you surrendered your life consciously to Christ? Has he washed away your sins? Is there a witness within you telling you you are a child of God? If you don't have that, I pray you sincerely, consciously, willingly, without reservation, join me in this prayer. If you want Jesus to make that revival fire spark out in your life in forgiving of your sins, wherever you are, just raise your hands. Just raise one hand. Just raise one hand. While you are raising the hand is a point of contact. It will remind you what you did. You took an action bodily. Put that your raised hand on your chest. Still a point of contact for faith. And repeat this prayer after me. Lord Jesus, I have sinned before you in thought, words, or deed before you, I am not your child. This morning, I repent of my past sins. I return to you. Cleanse me. Forgive me. Come into my life and be my Lord and my Savior. And give me the power to live for you. Thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Lord, as many as receive you, to them you give the power to be your children, who were born not of flesh, not of blood, not of the will of man, but by the power of God. We pray you, O God, that as many as have made these personal confessions, let the old things pass away in the name of Jesus. Let all things become new in the name of Jesus. Write their names in the book of life, and let that peace that passes all understanding, as an evident token that we are now your children, garrison their hearts and give them a conviction to walk with you in a newness of life, never to return back to their old ways, and all their life journey until heaven beckons. In Jesus' name we pray. And receive the glory for the revival move that you will bite in our midst. We are willing. We are available. Lord, use us and send down the fire of revival. And turn this diocese and beyond to the glory of your name. Through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen.